For many students, adapting to remote learning this past year has been hard. Distractions at home, trouble focusing, difficult home environments, those are things that have all taken their toll. But there have been bright spots, too. Students have more access to their teachers. They've had more time to reflect on learning styles and organizational skills. And for many, more time to relax in bed before class. So, what have we learned from remote learning? Today, WBUR's education team begins a series on unexpected lessons that the pandemic has taught students and teachers. And WBUR senior education reporter Carrie Young joins us now to talk about it. Carrie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So, Carrie, what did you set out to learn with this unexpected lessons series? And did you have any assumptions about what you'd hear?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. The idea for this series actually had a more organic start. It really began when my teammates and I would hear in interviews and pre-interviews for other stories things like, you know, I hope they at least keep this thing around after COVID's passed, or actually, my child's really thrived this year, you know, so I can't really provide a comment about this story about how students are struggling in particular. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the more we would talk about it as a team, we realized that there was more to this. It was something that we needed to explore, but also that there was a lot of nuance to this idea. So I think that is what we set out to learn and to also illustrate here. When we were trying to flesh out the idea of the series at first, you know, I think went into it figuring people would probably be on one side or the other, maybe a few in between, but you either loved it or you hated it. And if you hated it, you didn't really find too much that was good about remote learning. But that really wasn't the case. Even, you know, the teachers and students that we spoke with who struggled a lot with various aspects of the pandemic still came away with a couple of things that they really hoped the school system would carry forward. One of them, as you mentioned, was the later school start time. That was a big thing for a lot of students. But also was remote office hours. The pandemic kind of weirdly improved communication or connection with teachers for some students. The platforms gave them this opportunity to ask questions without social pressures. You know, no one has to know that you DM'd your teacher with a follow-up question about that algebra problem. So it definitely changed things around when it came to teacher access.
So what were some of the biggest challenges that you heard of?
Well, loneliness and lack of motivation were big ones that we heard from most of the students that we talked to. I heard a lot of students tell me, I mean, it's whatever, I guess, when it came to big life events like prom getting canceled, especially last year, graduation. You know, that's a big red flag for depression, from what I understand. So I did hear a lot of that. Other students had other things to worry about outside of school, like a parent losing a job or friends and family were catching COVID. So there was just a lot going on, a lot of things to distract students from their schoolwork. It was a range of things that students were really facing this year.
So I want to that point, I want to play a clip from a series of profiles that you and WBUR videographer Robin Lubbock produced. So this section is about the struggles of remote learning. We're going to hear from Angelie Romarty, a sophomore at Madison Park High School, Declan Collins, a sophomore at Holliston High School, Lincoln Annibali, a senior at Natick High School, and Christelle Charles, a freshman at Cottman Academy.
It was really like scary just seeing like the total transition of when I was passing, I was a good student, and then now my grades are reflecting something completely different.
I think being on the screen all day is just kind of exhausting. I mean, this might sound kind of ridiculous, but when you're at home, you're sort of less alert, you're more comfortable. So I think that sort of lends itself to a bit of complacency.
You can't focus when you have, you know, 50 tabs open and a teacher speaking, and you know you have a YouTube tab right next to it. That's a lot more enticing than hearing someone, you know, go on about something that you might not be completely interested in.
And like being focused is also hard because it's like there's at home, some people might not have a good living environment. For example, like me, I live around here, so it's like there's always some type of police car or fire truck. And it's like, I can't be like, oh, can you repeat that, please? Because one, I would say that a lot. And two, it's not fair to the teacher because then she has a whole other class. There's other students. So it's not only about me.
So, Carrie, these struggles, do you think they will disappear as we fully transition to in-person learning again, or are these effects that are going to linger?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I've been connecting with social workers and school psychologists a lot lately, actually, to see how things are going as more and more students are returning to full-time in-person learning. And, you know, with some aspects of this, students have been able to bounce back or issues go away kind of thing. So when Christelle Charles was talking about the sirens going past her window and not being able to hear class, that's a problem that can go away pretty easily. There are other things, some of the mental health issues that may be lingering for a little while longer. I've been told by officials in several districts that you know, levels of anxiety and depression among kids are noticeably higher as they're returning than one compared to pre-pandemic levels. There's also learning loss, and we don't quite know how much learning loss there is among the student population in Massachusetts just yet.
All right, so those are the challenges. Let's talk about some of the bright spots. I'm going to play another one of these show profiles focused on unexpected bright spots. On this one, we have Ishmael Mendez, who is a sophomore at Charlestown High School, Angelie Romardi from Madison Park High School, Christelle Charles from Codman Academy, and Lincoln Annibale from Natick High School.
I get to decide like what time I have to wake up. I don't have to wake up super early to go to school, and everything is online. So like if I didn't get to finish something in one class, I could always come back to it later because it's just right there.
Oh, what about, did teachers have office hours or anything like that?
Yes, they do now. And it was a lot more helpful doing it online than in person before.
So, why do you think that is?
Just because after school, like, I would have to get home, you know, help my mom clean up, or I would have to go pick up my cousins. But doing it at home online, it was easier to, oh, well, I need help with this. I'm already here, and my teachers are right there in my pocket. So
I feel like I can say that I've learned that teachers really do try to, like, cooperate and help the students be engaged no matter where they are.
I mean, it definitely took time to kind of know how I learn and how I should best organize my stuff and study. But I think that's definitely something that I'm going to take to college and later on in life, because I think I know myself better as a student now, and I know kind of how I function best.
So, Carrie, I feel like we in the news spend a lot of time covering the challenges of remote learning. Here are benefits, and were there any there that surprised you?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest surprises for me, or just something that I hadn't thought about in that way before, was the aspect of being able to DM your teacher. You know, just having that chat function as opposed to raising your hand, physically speaking to them. You know, it, like we were talking about earlier, eliminates those social pressures around asking for help academically, but it made it logistically a lot easier for some students. Like Anjali, we noticed, she had a lot of responsibilities at home, so even if she was socially, you know, felt comfortable going back in for help, she couldn't because she had home responsibilities and just didn't have the time. Another thing that we didn't mention in this video, we actually produced a separate segment on this for the series, but another thing that surprised me was how many students talked about the fact that student voice was very much more a part of their educational experience. And so what I mean by that is students really loved that teachers would check in pretty often and say, like, did the way I tried to teach this make sense? You know, remote learning was so limiting and different for teachers in so many ways that no matter how experienced they were learning by doing when it came to this shift, especially at first. So they would check in with students to see, you know, did that make sense? Did the way I approach this work? And a lot of these students said that it really made them felt like their voice mattered, and it felt good to have a hand in their education in that way.
So, Carrie, we have about a minute left. You know, many students commented that remote learning simplified learning, made it more accessible. So, you know, are there some aspects of remote learning that should stick around? For example, students with autism that have trouble navigating certain social aspects of in-person learning, for example, or students with visual impairments?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of lessons we can take away from this. A lot of experts have, you know, reflected on that in a lot of my reporting for this series. But one thing that they did do was raise a note of caution. Andrea Parrish is one of the experts I spoke with. She's from the IDEALS Institute at the Johns Hopkins University School of Education. And here's that note of caution, and here's how she put it.
You know, I think one of the things that's important is, like, what does it mean to really be thriving? So we say that some children are thriving. Does that mean that, you know, their grades are good? If their grades are good, are they also doing well? Like, it's a whole person approach. So do they still have relationships with other people? You know, because for some children who have difficulty navigating peer relationships, the academics aren't the problem. You know, school is an opportunity to practice those skills. And in special education, we try to provide students with interventions to do that.
So Carrie, we're running out of time there. I'm going to have to leave it there. We're going to look forward to learning more about this series as the week goes on. That was WBUR senior education reporter, Carrie Young. Carrie, that was great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, you can also join Carrie this Thursday night at 6 p.m. in conversation with students, teachers, and school leaders. For more information, go to wbur.org/events.